Welcome back to Good Games Podcast, everybody. I know it's been a minute, but I'm your host, CJ.
And I'm Shane.
And we're here after 2 months of a hiatus, mostly because we have been suckling at the naked teat that is Elden Ring. Honestly, February was a knockout month. I mean, you know this. If you're a gaming fan, you know we had Horizon. Frankly, I didn't even play it. I sat on my hands and waited till Elden Ring came out and pre-ordered that thing. I know I'm scourge of the gaming community. I'm sorry, I admit it, but this one I had to pre-order. And I know Shane, you were there at the front of the line too, waiting for your copy. We're rabid in anticipation.
It's funny though, because I pre-ordered it the night before it came out at like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Only because you guys were talking about it. And I had not really been following it much because I have never really gotten too good into From Software games. Like I appreciate they're fun and they're good, but usually I get so fucking frustrated and I can't get past a certain point that I give up. So I was like, Elden Ring was not top of my like list to go to. I figured it was not going to really be for me. And then everyone was talking about it. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll play it. I'm gonna try it. It'll be fun for an hour and then whatever, I'll move on. So I pre-ordered it because I'm like, if I'm gonna play it, I want to play it tonight at midnight. So I did, and Jesus fuck, like, was I wrong about how much I would play this game? But like, I did not have like any hype leading up to it. I literally decided, all right, I'll play it like 4 hours before it released, and it was a good decision. I mean, I don't regret it, but maybe that was the way to do it for me. I don't know.
You know, it was funny too because I remember the conversation we had because I was ready for it, and I'm also not a FromSoft fanboy. I mean, I tried Dark Souls 3 and I enjoyed it, although it was brutal. I got Bloodborne on the PlayStation, what was it, last year or whatever. They did the giveaway
Yeah, it was
for
on
PS
Plus.
Plus. So I picked it up then. And I played through it, but the thing I don't like about From Software games is not just the fact that they're brutally difficult, but they're extremely limiting at the same time, right? So not only are you forced into situations that you don't want to be in, but you're up against odds that are stacked against you until you're a robot, like you see these speedrunners who can close their eyes and, you know, last GDQ they run Sekiro blindfolded, like to that level. And frankly, I'm an adult and I don't have time to be spending trying to remember every last, you know, intricate move that these bosses have. But anyway, so when I saw this trailer for Elden Ring, I at first was like, I'm not going near that because I'm not going to play it. It's going to be too brutally hard. I'm going to get extremely frustrated. So I will watch it on Twitch and see other people who are much better at video games beat it than myself. And as it got closer and more trailers came out, I started to kind of see the RDR2 open world. Okay, I see where this is going. You don't have to be forced down a tunnel into a boss. Like, you can just go somewhere else and do something else whenever you want. So I said, okay, you know what? I'm really understanding the hype on this. I'm gonna get into it. And I think I asked you the question. It was like the week before release. It was close to the release date if you were going to get it, and you went no. And then we had a conversation about why that was. And then I remember you saying, "Well, I pre-ordered it and I'm picking it up tomorrow." And I think you might have got your copy before I got mine because I think you got it digitally, didn't you?
Oh yeah. I pre-ordered it on the Xbox store. I was playing it at 12:01.
Yeah, so you beat me to it because I waited for a hard copy because I wanted to get the collector's edition because I'm really that basic of a person over here. But
Hey, fucking
I
loser.
know, but hey, I
Who
got the
buys things physically anymore?
I got the ring. I got the horse summon ring. It doesn't work, but it looks cool. So I got that hanging up on the wall over here. But anyway, if you guys haven't figured it out yet, normally we go through these pods and we'll have a handful of games that we've been playing over, I don't know, the previous month or so. This is not gonna be the case today. We are very much into Elden Ring right now. And frankly, that's going to be a one-trick pony for this pod. So, for those of you who are playing along with us, make sure to send us comments. If you're on a platform that allows comments, we read all the comments. So we definitely want to hear your opinion on Elden Ring. It's a diverse opinion so far from what we're seeing out on some of our other streaming sites. If you don't have the ability to comment, goodgameguyspod@gmail.com. We'll put it right in our inbox and we'll be able to read it there. The reason why we're doing comments and we're kind of putting it up front this time is because we want to see what you guys have to say, make sure that we're kind of on base with this, and potentially bring it into some future episodes. We'll read out some comments that we get, especially the really insightful ones. So make sure to get them into us so we can read them. But that all being said, let's get into it. Shane, where do you want to start with this? Do you want to start this at the beginning of the game? Do you want to start this with your opinions? How do you want to kick off this special episode today?
Well, once upon a time, there was a game developer who said, "As it turns out, I fucking hate gamers. I fucking hate them all, and I want them to suffer. I want them to die. I want to make their life a living fucking hell." And so he made some games. He made Demon Souls. He made. Hey, did you know he worked on Armored Core?
Yeah, they did. And did you know, which by the way, Armored Core was one of my favorite games.
It's fucking cool. Like,
I
that's
love
such like
Armored
a little
Core.
fun fact that I didn't know about before.
Did you know, so the story of this whole FromSoft Soulsborne, whatever term you want to use for this like family of games.
I want to use like Dick Destroyer. Does
Yeah.
that work for you?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. It's a little STD-ish, but we'll run with it for now. So I actually watched a documentary on the development of Demon Souls and kind of how they pitched it and what, they were trying to get for a publisher. And anyway, without all the boring details, we almost didn't have Demon Souls because, as you would expect, the publisher went, "We can't make this game is way too hard. Like nobody's ever gonna buy this. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen." And they canceled the project. And I can't remember exactly who it was, but I believe they found someone else to buy into this for Demon Souls, and it was an unbelievable smash hit, as we all kind of know. I mean, Dark Souls was the big breaking open game for the series here, but it was way more popular, especially in Japan, than they ever expected, and that's why we kind of have this today. But we almost didn't have this From Software catalog of Dick Destroyers, simply because it was, at the time, so foreign to have a game that was abusing gamers to this degree that they didn't want to publish it. So fun fact there, Armored Core, very cool fun fact. That was I had the demo disc in PS1, and I must have played that Armored Core demo every day for a year straight. It was just so good.
Well, to interject for that, the first Armored Core he worked on was Armored Core 4.
I see.
So yeah, he kind of jumped on later, but at least I think so. No, I'm sorry. Armored Core Last Raven, the PS2 game, was the first one he worked on.
Okay.
And then he directed Armored Core 4 and Armored Core 4 Answer. It's a direct sequel. So the first Armored Core he probably didn't have a hand in, I think. Man, what the fuck, too? He started working at From Software at 29. Bitch, I'm 29. I could be the next Miyazaki right
Here we
now.
go. You just
It's
gotta.
not too late.
How are you gonna punish your
I just
demons?
gotta go right now. I just can't wait like a few more months or I'm fucked.
You've got to think of a design that no one other game is doing, right? So he's already got the game over, you've died screen. What's gonna be your take here? You're brilliant. So what's your
But even think about that. Like how like That's a classic thing. A lot of games have, you died, but like it's iconic for this one, right? Because it's, you see it so fucking often. That's the problem. But yeah, I mean, listen, before Elden Ring, I didn't know much about it. Like I didn't know Miyazaki was as the developer. I like kind of like a Kojima. Like, I think he's at that level as far as like people know who he is in reference to the Souls games at this point, at least like according to the subreddits and stuff. I didn't know who that was. I played Dark Souls just on a very surface level. Like, this is a tough game and it hurt my asshole, so I'm out. And then I played the next I didn't play two, I played three. And I'm like, this one also hurt my asshole, so I'm yet again, I'm out. And then I played Sekiro. Whenever that came out, I don't even remember the time frame, but Devon was doing his other podcast with Peter and John, like the Black and White Gaming, and I was on an episode with them as like a guest, and they were talking about Sekiro, and there was like a challenge between me and Devon to who would beat the game first. So I bought it to play it. Spoilers, neither of us did. I that game was so fucking hard. I'm looking forward to going back to it, but it's so fucking hard. And then I never played Bloodborne. I played Bloodborne for like 5 minutes, I think, because it was free on Plus, and I got lost in a graveyard or something. Like, I don't think I was like, I don't remember when I played it, but it wasn't a good time because I'm not that shitty at games, but I couldn't even figure out like where to go or something. I don't know. It was a bad time. So this is the first one that like just hit that fucking mwah, the beautiful harmonic chord that really pulled me into all of it. To From Software as like a, like this is a rock solid company to me now that I believe in. You know, this developer. I also want to throw out, I know I'm on like a minor tangent, but like just the mythos and the world building for this game specifically, being involved with George R.R. Martin. Dude, I need the book. I need the novel that's like, you know, prior to the game when like, you know, and oh, I need that. But like, we'll see. Maybe that'll happen or some DLC. But yeah, I don't know. Like this really clicked where any of the other ones have for me.
Yeah.
And I just had that in my soul. I forgot what your original handoff question was, or if there was one, I probably just interjected.
No, it's fine. I mean, I want to quantify this quickly by saying, firstly, you're further than I am by probably a significant amount.
Oh, I'm not being like an asshole when I say I'm dramatically further than you.
Yeah. But I mean, we're taking this at different speeds. I've probably got a total of, maybe 10.
Let's gauge it this way real quick. Yeah. What level are you?
47.
All right. I'm level 127.
Yeah. So, there you go. I mean, I'm taking this from a very slow, explorative kind of perspective. Like, I just like exploring the world. I don't necessarily want to get my dick kicked in every turn. Like, I see something scary.
It's just like, you're saying I'm taking it as a slow explorer. I'm just picturing in my mind a scene where you're like, you're like going to the catacombs. You're like, what's this about then? You're reading a message. You're like, try fingers, butthole. Interesting.
And then I write it down in my book.
I'm gonna jot that down in the journal. Right. Let's figure out what's going on in here. This sounds like a sassy place.
I mean, it's accurate. And then I get on my horse. I double jump around a little bit because it's magic. It's all, the horse is. We'll talk about the horse, but yeah, I'm coming at this from a that looks like a scary guy, and then I kind of peek through my lens at it and go, oh, look at that character design. That looks.
Do you have like the little telescope item?
Mm-hmm. And then I use it to look at bosses so I don't get too close and activate them. And then I just go somewhere the fuck else because he's going to kick my ass. So I just go
somewhere
else.
That's the easy mode experience is you go to the fog and you just stick the thing through the fog and you're like, I see what's going on in there. You retract it and then you get the fuck out of there. You don't have to fight him. You already saw it. You've seen everything. You already know what it's about.
I'm here for a sightseeing adventure.
You don't need more than that.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it's – okay, that aside – why do you think it is from your perspective? I mean, the world is the pretty obvious answer, but why do you think that Elden Ring is hitting you on a different level? There's got the world and the exploration. I know that that's something that you're into because you and I have always been into that kind of stuff, but there's something beyond that too. So why do you think that this experience is a little bit closer to what you were looking for, a little more magnetic to you than the previous Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Sekiro, Bloodborne games?
Well, you already kind of nailed, I think, what really sets this apart from the others that was enough to get me deep enough in that I like let the rest, the good stuff that's been there throughout the Souls series and Bloodborne, like wash over me and really just soak it in, was I think the open world is the game changer. And I mean, I'm not the first people to declare that either. I think that's like it's having massive success. Elden Ring's already sold more copies, I think, than the entire Souls series, like all of them, in like the first, month it's been out? It's crazy. But yeah, the fact that you get somewhere and you're like, whew, that hurt my dick. That was hard. And in previous games, you would have had to just go back to the bonfire and be like, well, it's still sore, but I guess I'm going to go break my dick again because that's the only way forward is to keep fighting through this same avenue. It was, you know, more linear. And I think there's something to be said for that, except for me, every time I've tried it, which was after trying it, I would turn it off one day and never turn it back on again. It wasn't even a conscious decision. I just would lose the initiative to just like keep dragging my ass through it when it was too hard. And I like hard stuff. It just, I don't know. You have to be in like a very, to me, it feels like you had to be in a very dedicated mindset for the other game experiences. Or in Elden Ring, it's kind of the same, right? Like you're up against the same kind of opposition and adversaries, the same engine, like the gameplay. If you really just set like fighting a dude versus fighting a dude in Dark Souls 3. It's very strikingly similar. It's not like a huge departure. But if that dude breaks your dick in half, you can come back and just go, nah, I'm going west. Fuck that guy. And you just go and do something else. And every direction you go, it's you naturally, like, unobstructed and not guided by some, you know, big arrow in the sky, you find something. There's always something, a little something, whether it's just one enemy or it's like an item or it's you find a new cave. There's always something. And because the game doesn't overtly hold your hand and point you, I mean, it has like the little, you know, the grace that guides you. Maybe you should go this direction for like the main plot kind of stuff. But even that is just a rudimentary west, maybe. When you find something like that, it always feels like, oh, I found this. It's like you're fucking like Christopher Columbus showing up and they're like, no, dude, we've been here. You're like, I found this.
It's like that Eddie Izzard with the flags. Like, who are these guys?
Yes. Exactly. They're like, dude, we've lived in this cave for like, you're like, I found this cave. And I mean, unless you're looking things up online, but even that, that's one other like little aside that I will say is that I used to use like, I remember back in the day for Knights of the Old Republic 2, Fallout 3, two standout, Luigi's Mansion, three standout games that I had strategy guides for. And I followed them like cover to cover. And I had a fucking blast playing the games. And it didn't feel like it ruined it. It like enriched it. It let me find all the things and experience them without, it didn't like spoil it. It just like made my dumb brain like know where to go to experience the game to its fullest. And it was awesome. Then I reached some point where I was too good for that, and I like wouldn't look up anything, and I would just bash my stupid head against things, and if it didn't get me through, I would just quit, and that's not much fun. I don't experience the thing. So in Elden Ring, I have looked things up. I'm not gonna lie. I'm one of the people who, if I'm like, where should I go, or like, I could use a better weapon, I will fucking Google it and check the wiki and be like, that weapon's sick, where do I go? And in the process of going to get that weapon, I discover a plethora of bullshit, and then I still have to fight through the place to get it, and then it's like, it's awesome. Even going online, you think would be like spoiling and finding stuff, which is very much a me thing. That's not saying that's how you should play. It's not for everybody, but even doing that has like made it better for me, because the fact that I would find every single thing in this fucking batshit wildly large map, like it's not even like the scope is huge. It's just so crammed full of shit. It's a little overwhelming to think like how much stuff I might miss out on. So for me, knowing that I can look up and find like all these hot key things to go to and just do all of them, and I'm not missing out on certain things, it's made it all the better. And I'm like always dying to look for the next thing to do. And so in a sense, I'm like holding my own hand sometimes through the wiki online. But it's again, because I'm doing it, I can always just set it down and be like, nah, I'm just going to head east and see what the fuck's up at any time.
Let me ask you this. So at the beginning, you had said that.
Yeah.
As you played through Elden Ring, you found appreciation for some of the components of earlier games that you didn't appreciate before. Do you think you would go back and play any older games? I'm curious, because I've had that thought too. I go, oh, now I'm getting it. Like, I understand. Okay. It's one of the things with all of these FromSoft games that gets me is that they don't explain a goddamn thing about anything.
Yeah.
Have a cumbersome UI that makes no sense. You're getting graded like a school paper, and you don't understand what correlates to anything. And then in this Elden Ring, they added even more crazy stuff. You've got weapon arts, you've got all of this, like it's overwhelming, especially without any instruction. And then they have the audacity to give you the, what do they call it, the helper guide or whatever that comes with it, like the
adventure guide.
Yes, that.
It's funny because nothing. I only opened the adventure guide after I'd gotten like a decent chunk into Limgrave. So every page I was like, all right, saw that. Uh-huh. I know that. And I'm like, oh, that's what that's called. Yeah, I saw that though.
Yeah. It doesn't explain
it. It's crazy that they made a separate app that runs on your console that's like, it's like the instruction booklet, like the quick start guide. But you could totally miss it. And honestly, I think it's an attestment that like by the time I launched it, I was like, I know all this stuff. I've ringed so much Elden. I don't need this garbage. It was not necessary, but it is cool. It does give you some cool illustrations and stuff. And I think that's worth a lot because goddamn, the fucking world and the characters and the art direction is just insane, insanely good. And I think it's great for Dark Souls too. I just never got to be able to appreciate it because I never got far enough.
The late, great Chris Cornell of Soundgarden and you know, he had an interview I listened to once where he was talking about how he never listened to any other bands or any other music really. Like, he would for fun, but not for a creative reason, because he didn't want his music to sound like, you know, other music that existed. He just wanted it to be authentic and organic when he was writing it. And I feel like FromSoft is the same way. Like, they are so disconnected from what a typical gaming company would do to, like you said, let's make another fucking app that explains nothing about anything important. And it's just a waste of time and space. And then they go in, you know what, let's make a 40-foot monster that throws a blade at your, like, it's so different. And I think it's just because they just don't play any other video games. Like, they don't know what else is out there. They're just in this to make what they want to make and then move on. If it's a hit, it's a hit. And it's super popular. The character design and the modeling, like you just mentioned, is amazing. But I think if we were to go back in previous games, I think that would still hold true. I think it's unfortunate because I sit here and I learn in Elden Ring and I go, okay, some of the stuff in the previous games, like the alphabet with your skills, that makes no sense. You know, dexterity is a C on one weapon, and then strength is a D, and you don't know what any of that means, and you're just looking for something.
It's very vague.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as even what some of the stats do, I keep having to look in and go, okay, just so I'm sure what I'm putting points into, I want to make sure I'm affecting the right things. Like, at no point does it explain that endurance helps with your burdenness, like how much heavy armor
it does. It does. It's just not super obvious.
Okay.
If you hit like select or back or whatever the fuck the buttons are, yeah, in modern consoles for the explanation key,
yeah,
if you go over the stats, like endurance will say like increases it, but you have to like kind of look, okay, for it. You know, that's the thing. Like, the whole UI is like, it's not gonna hold your hand. Like, a pop-up will come up once and say like, yo, this is where you find out like what shit you do, and you're like, okay, and then, you know, explore it. And it has like the legend, like, here's what buttons do, but you have to kind of just like play around with them or look things up on the wiki. Like, I've googled more shit. If there's like, my FBI agent has got to be like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He's googling like fucking Vigor Soft Cap Elden Ring like three times today. This guy, I'm concerned,
yeah,
about his well-being.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And I think that's like what you were, a few of the things you were saying, I think a testament to this game. So you asked, like, I think, would I go back and play one of the others after playing this? Right now, having not done that yet, absolutely. Still playing Elden Ring, my mindset now is, dude, once I finish this, I'm fucking loading up Bloodborne,
yeah,
right away.
Yep.
I'm going to like see what I missed out on. Will I get to that point and be like, turns out I was wrong. This game still breaks my dick in half and I'm not interested. It could be. I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah.
But I'm like reinvigorated to like go experience all these games again. And I feel like, where those games, you know, you'd hit that wall where you get to a boss or you get to a segment where you're like, fuck, this is hard. And then you do it over and over. And then eventually, like I said, for me, I would just not be like, fuck this game and like throw it in the trash or break it. I would just like one day just not launch it anymore. I would just have moved on. And it wasn't even like a conscious decision. I just lost the initiative to keep moving. And it's not because the game wasn't great. It's just I fucking got stuck. My dick's too small. I can't let it keep breaking like that. But now that like, in Elden Ring, it does do that to you. It'll snap your cock in half. But if it does and you come back, you're like, oof, ow, big cock snap. That's not good for me. You can go off somewhere else. And because you always have somewhere else to go, you're always continuing to like grow your skills and like learn from your mistakes. And you don't feel punished by having to repeat the same asinine segment over and over and over that like ruins your fun. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's how I used to feel. You can just say, fuck it. And you're not punished for saying, fuck it, I'm going to go somewhere else. Eventually, you know, there are some kind of main plot beats you do have to get to eventually, but there's so much other content you can do that by the time, if you did all of it and come back, you are like monstrously now over leveled to fight the thing that used to break your cock in half.
Yep.
And now it's the big reversal. You know, you're doing the big cock snap on that old boss.
And it's funny because I don't think I would go back and play the other games. And it's solely for the reason that I now have seen in Elden Ring why I didn't like the other games. And that is, there's a mechanic in Bloodborne, and I think this is in all the other ones, but again, I've only played, three, so I'm not an expert by any means on anything FromSoft, but there was a mechanic in Bloodborne where every time that you would kill a mob, right, something that was lesser than a boss of any type, every time you would kill it, it would generate less of the souls or the runes or whatever, leveling currency in that game. It would produce less. So what would happen was you'd go and you'd beat a boss, or you'd go and you'd lose to a boss, you'd end up at the campfire, and you're like, okay, I gotta grind. But there was no way to grind because every time that you would do it, your return for that grinding was less and less and less and less, to the point where it didn't exist anymore, and you were forced with whatever you had available to you at the time to continue to throw your head against this boss until you either beat it legitimately, or what I started doing was looking for tutorials on how to make them glitch on something so they stood still, and then I
Oh, I
could beat
love
them
to
to death.
cheese a boss. A good cheese, there's nothing like it.
But I felt, I don't know, it wasn't rewarding because you're like, okay, I've learned nothing from this. I've essentially passed this point, which I haven't gotten any better at it, and the next boss is going to be even harder. So what have I really gained here? And at that point, you just lose will to keep playing. But in Elden Ring, you go up to the boss. First time I fought what's his face there, Margit, right? I was
Good
like,
old Margaret.
yep, he's the meme machine now. But I was like, nope, I'm gonna go do other things.
I did not like actually defeat Margaret, I don't think, until like 30 to 40 hours into the game.
Yeah, and I remember when you sent me that because I was already past Godric and I was in the lake somewhere messing around. But
Yeah.
I literally was like, nope, I'm gonna go do some dungeons, and I did some and I found some stuff and came back and whooped them, and then went on to Godric, and I also will wiki, and he gave me such a run. I ended up finding the cheese with the feral dog and used that. It worked like a charm. Moved past him, no problem.
See, that's so funny because I slammed myself against Margaret for the longest time and was like, this fucking guy, and couldn't beat him. And I finally beat him and then basically like swept through the rest of that zone and defeated Godric the first fight. By then I was like, I fuck this guy can fuck off. I know what I got it. But to get to that point, I went through so much
I
suffering.
think that's the general consensus, is that Godric is less difficult than Margit is, but I don't know, because I ended up going and finding that chest that teleports you over into like the blood area, like the
Caleb.
crystal cave one. Yeah, and
Yeah.
just so happened to come across all the components I needed to cheese Godric and then cheese him without realizing that that was even a thing. But anyway, back to the initial point at hand, I don't think I would go back because I don't I think I've figured out a good balance, and I think that FromSoft has figured out a way to appeal to more than just the diehard, gamer. Our friend Gavin, right? He will not play Elden Ring. He's not gonna play it. I might be able to convince him to play it in like a year's time once he's gotten enough exposure to understand what it is, but he is so scarred from trying, I think it was Dark Souls 2, or maybe it was the original one. He tried it on a free pass, and he said nope. And I get why, because I'm like that too. I don't always want to be incredibly challenged, and I don't always want to have to, put so much of my free time into something that to me is really a small payoff. It's a boss. Like, it's not a whole game. I don't want to spend, if I have 12 to 15 hours a week of free time, right, after work or whatever, I don't want to spend 3 to 4 of those hours on a boss. I want to spend 3 to 4 of those hours on getting through half of Guardians of the Galaxy, seeing stuff, exploring things. Elden Ring lets me do that. Like, if I really want to go fight with a boss, I can do that. But if I don't, I don't have to. There's plenty of other things that I can go do. And I know we've been pretty much talking solely for the first half hour about the open world and how great it is, that it's expansive and whatnot. But there's other elements to that game too, right? So I already mentioned the horse. Dude, that mechanic is brilliant to bring to a Souls game, because not only does it give you a better way to traverse the world that we've been raving about for the last half hour, also it allows the developers to make a whole nother scale of boss fights, the dragons, the giants, and it's acceptable to do that because you have a way to effectively combat those situations on horseback that you didn't have when you were on foot. So it opens up the ability of, the developer to be able to make this gigantic colossus of an enemy that has a reach that's 60 to 120 feet far from the monster itself, and it's still a fair fight because you have so much mobility with this horse, the double jumping, the sprinting, the fact that you can do like drive-by hits on the side of it. I mean, that opens up opportunities to all kinds of different enemy types and boss types and different varying scenarios that they couldn't do before. If you're on foot, you have a roll in like a sprint. So, a fight can only be so punishing and it can only be so widespread and a monster can only be so big because mathematically you wouldn't be able to dodge or get away from a big attack. Now they can open this chest of, dude, we can do airborne dragon fights. We can do archer Goliaths, like just all kinds of crazy stuff because this horse allows you to do it. So I'm thinking that is another one of these pivotal changes to this game that the other games never really had. They were all very dungeon crawly, very close combat, very narrow and congested. And Sekiro was the first game I think that actually gave you the ability to kind of expand a little bit off of that linear, you are going to walk down this hallway that is very small, and you don't have a lot of room to maneuver or come up with any other strategy besides understand what enemy is going to do to you, counter that specifically with what we want you to counter that with, move on to the next enemy. Elden Ring, you have all kinds of stuff at your disposal to handle really any situation, and the horse to me, that's I spend more time on horseback, I think I do, than on foot, unless I'm in a dungeon. I'm constantly on horseback because I feel safer that way, and I get to explore more of the world. I get to see more things. Traversal. Is there? I mean, I know you like the horse. We've talked about that before, but I mean, what other components? Is there anything else that sticks out to you about Elden Ring besides obviously open world? We already talked about the horse. In relation to previous games, that is just. Is heading the right direction from a From Software perspective to allow more people to enjoy the genre of game than who did before.
I think a lot of it, ties back to, it all comes from the expansion to being open world and being a little bit more free in how you, like what comfort level you have with how you approach things. The horse definitely does play a big part. Torrent's my boy. And whether that's being able to completely bypass one spot because the enemies can't keep up with you, and you can just breeze into like a chest at the back and grab it and be like, eh, suck my ass, and just like zoom back out. Or, and it's so funny because that kind of feels like you're cheating, but it's not. You're just using a game mechanic and you're like outsmarting these dumb slow fucks. And it's clearly like if they didn't mean that to happen, they would dismount you. They would make it like a no torrent zone. But it's not because the game, as much as it all doesn't hold your hand with anything in game, as far as like, the map is very, very detailed. So once you find the map fragments on the map, like when you see something on the map that you visibly by looking at it think like, that kind of looks like that, it probably is something. Even if it's not what you first thought, if you see it, it's there. It's something. So that gives you all the tools you need really to like come up with your own, like, to get like really like on the nose, like chart your own destiny, and go and do what looks appealing on the map to you, if that's what you're interested in. If you're not, the Sites of Forgotten Grace, the important ones, will just point and say like, hey, head that way, and you'll figure it out, and you will. Like, it's kind of unavoidable. You will figure it out if that's all you want to do is just blast through the, to Margit and get your cock snapped in half too early.
Speaking of the map, I'm curious with this update where they added a bunch of icons. Are
Yeah.
you in favor of that? Again, the
Yeah.
arguments there are, well, they're making it too easy for casuals, or You know,
that's, well, and for that, I think that's a stupid fucking argument. Like, what? It's a casual restriction that I'm supposed to remember where 30 different people reside and where they move to at any given time. I get it. Like, that may probably makes you feel good if you remember it, and kudos to you. That's cool. But also, like, if I want to remember where fucking like Larry the you know, the cock mender is, I want to just be able to open the map and like, oh, that's right, he was over there. And, you know, it doesn't, like, it's not like it's like fucking solving the game for me. It's just, it's noting like, hey, this guy's over here. You know that. You saw him already. He's there. And I'm like, yeah, he is there. Thank you. Because my cock is absolutely devastated after that boss. And I would love to go visit Larry.
I agree.
I think it's absolutely a positive. Anyone says it's not going to like get their cock snapped enough and then not be able to know where the guy is to fix it because they don't have the fucking map icons.
Donkey released a video.
Yeah. So the horse is there's not. I will say this, now that I'm a lot further in, I am basically a golden god. I fucking decimate everything that dares to look at me. I do hop off my horse a lot because I use the beautiful weapon arts to just obliterate anyone that dares to defy me. And I can't usually do that from my horseback. But boy, in the fucking first 50, 60 hours of the game, all I did was use the horse. I'm fighting big boss that likes to hit me with stick, not when I run and double jump away. And then I shoot spell and he goes, oh, I hate that. And I'm like, yeah. And then I run to the other side and I hit him again. And he goes, ah, oh, god damn it. And then I snap his cock in half and I give Tor a nice treat of the useless berries that do nothing. Yep. And we move on with our lives.
Yep. Now, it's funny. Donkey released a video on this. Did you see it a couple days ago?
You sent it to me. I didn't watch
it. He says he's beaten it four times, which I'll believe.
I believe that. Look, seriously, for the main stuff you need to defeat, like once you're on new game, you can easily breeze through it.
Yeah.
Half of this fucking game is optional.
Yeah.
Like all of like the area with Godric is optional. It's not necessary.
Right, you can go right around it.
You can go right around it. And that's like that happens throughout the whole game. You can easily brush through. I think the fastest person beat it in I think it was like what, an hour or less than an hour?
I believe it.
Like know where to go and use the right weapon arts to like cheese certain areas. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, so it's the point I'm making is about the donkey beating it four times. I mean, in those situations where somebody's playing it that frequently, right? Maybe they don't want their map to be too congested because they've treated this like it's a college course and they've memorized every nook and cranny of this thing. They know where everything is. But for me, I mean, this week I had a business trip. I wasn't even here for 2 days, right? So I played last weekend and I just booted it up today for the first time this week. I don't know where anybody is. Like, I don't even know where I stopped playing at. Like, I had to go and go, okay, what was I doing? Why am I at this bonfire? Like, what site of grace, sorry. But I mean, either what is the purpose of me even playing this right now? You know what? Let me just bring up the map. I'll see where I'm at. What was I doing? I don't know. I'm just going to go back to something that I know. And I may not know where that is anymore. So for that perspective, I mean, I think I am liking the fact that From Software is already understanding that they've captured their target demographic, right? The people who are previous rabid Dark Souls fans, they're in this and they're loving it. So great. You haven't lost any footing, but they're gaining a lot of traction with me and other people like me who really didn't fall completely into the previous games because of certain expectations that I wasn't willing to meet. I wasn't willing to put time into, and I simply am just not a good enough gamer. My reaction times aren't as good as they once were. So I like the fact that they're balancing this pretty well as far as, you know, appeasing the hardcore fan base who are coming into this wanting Dark Souls 4. That's what they want, Dark Souls, and that's what I think they got. But also there's me going, hey, I want to kind of join the party. Can you not punch me in the face as soon as I walk in the door, please? Like, I want to understand what all the hype is about. And they're like, sure, come on in. Don't go in that room though, because that's the room where the guy punches you right in the face immediately. If you want to go.
Well, what I like is they don't say don't go in that
room. No, you get punched in the face.
Oh, this is a cool room. What's going on in here? Oh, then they snap your cock off as soon as you walk in the door. You're like, I actually have just interpreted that I shouldn't be in that room.
And then you go, okay, this is where I hang my coat up over here. Sorry, I'll go put it in the right room now. And that's where all the biscuits are. And, you know, they go, oh, here's
your. Yeah, where in the previous games, like, you know, you come back at the bonfire and some dude walks up. He's like, hey, this is part of your cock, I think. Get back in there, champ. And you're like, okay.
What do you mean there's only one room? There's one room, and it's the room where that guy punches you. So figure it out.
Remember that awful experience you had? Fucking buckle up, pal. It's going to be that again for the next 3 hours of your life.
I was going to say, guess what's in the next room?
But there's a lot to be said, I think, for that like sense of accomplishment if you can weather the storm, which is why Dark Souls has become such a,
sure.
a staple. Because when you're up against that level of adversity and you can finally defeat it, clearly that sense of like satisfaction and achievement is going to absolutely shadow any other thing where you're like playing a game and you're just like, oh, I got to level 3 because I just like walked through the right doors. Like, as much as you might like a game like that, there is not that same. It's all about like self-efficacy. Like, you did it. And because it holds your hand so little and does so little, unless you're like, I mean, if you're looking up tons of stuff online, I think it's still safe to say that's self-efficacy because you went and got the information you needed to be better equipped to handle the situation. It's not like somebody took the controller from you and did it. You still did it yourself. Just because you looked up like, oh, it's actually a little bit easier if you do it this way, or here's a strategy. You still had to take the controls and do it. And then if you're one of those people who just fucking doesn't do any of that and you just straight up, you know, pants, drop trowel, whip your cock out and head right into the arena and you finally do it. I mean, that's a level of like, I fucking did that. I have finally conquered that shit that not many other games give you. A lot of games are difficult, but not like fun, satisfyingly
this
difficult.
Game,
they're just like,
this game is a, it's a rite of passage. It's almost like, I mean, all I've been seeing since Elden Ring has come out on Reddit, I mean, every day somebody goes, oh, look, I've platinumed all of the dark, like it's an achievement. It's like, look, I am such a superior gamer because I have gone through this punishment and I have beat my head against the wall or wikied effectively to the point where I have platinumed all these games. And the reason they're doing that is because there's a lot of us who are going to go, whoa, like that game you platinumed all,
dude,
of
that guy's cock is so thick, there's no way the boss
also,
can snap
this
it
is
in half.
Such a dick fixated podcast from your perspective at this point. I just want to say, I think everything at this point,
it's
has
not
been
the podcast, it's
dickly.
The game.
It's the game, you think? The game.
Are you telling me when you walk into like the catacombs mm-hmm. and you come up to one of those nasty, mm-hmm. nasty boys mm-hmm. and he wrecks your shit? Mm-hmm. You're telling me like on some level, like emotionally, internally, spiritually, you're not feeling like he just like did a big old snap. He just cracked in half your cock and you're feeling that pain just deep, deep, deep.
I will say that big
inside.
Finger hammer weapon definitely is phallical for sure. It's pretty much swinging dick. So, I mean, you've hit on something there. I wasn't ready for the onslaught of penis jokes and dick snapping.
It's not a fucking joke. I mean, if I walk into a room and I'm not prepared, yeah. which I'm not, and I'm not saying this to sound like I am the master of the Elden Ring. At this point, when I go to most places, I fuck shit up. But it's because I'm very, very high.
Yeah.
I'm not as high as some people, but I'm high level and I'm very strong. But for a while, I'd walk into a room and be like, hello, new boss. How are you? And there goes my cock.
Yep.
Snapped in half. I didn't even have a chance to move. You just broke that.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna apologize for communicating how damaged my dick is after playing this game.
No, I mean,
but it's gotten better.
I think
it's healing. I'm on the road to recovery. And, you know, now I'm out there. I'm out there and I'm grabbing these bosses by the dick now. And I'm you know, the roles are reversed.
You're doing God's work. I mean, you're informing the public what they're getting into here. And heaven forbid that you're a female gamer, because your dick is getting snapped too. This is just no way around it. There's no way
around it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is not a gender thing. Like, you play this game, it's gonna snap your cock.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, whatever that means for you, that's up to you to interpret. It's going to do it to you.
And the reason why maybe I haven't said it so much is because I avoid all dick snapping situations. Like I said, with my telescope, I just don't go near them. I go, that's fucking. I literally.
Yeah, I love that sheet. You just poke it through the fog. I think that's the perfect way to play this game. You look in, you're like, oh no, absolutely not. That guy looks like three mutants just fucked a pig. I'm out. There's no way in hell I'm going in this room. I treasure my cock. I'm out of here.
It's like your little blue pill. You just pop the pill. You see what's going on.
Yeah.
You go, oh, fucking hell. Not going. Not going with that.
Did I send you that? This is a quick aside. Did I send you that video with the chest high wall?
I think if it's the one I'm thinking of, yes. But yes.
Very good. Maybe I'll put the link in the
Yeah,
fucking
go ahead.
show
Go ahead.
notes.
I want to make sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
He's suicidal! He's heading straight for the chest.
Yes, I
Oh
did
my
see that.
god.
Okay. Yes, I did.
Such a good fucking video.
Yeah, you gotta.
Hey, this isn't a spoiler for you because you're past this part already. You've already
Sure.
gone through Storm Vale.
Yes.
When you first encountered Rusty Dick outside that tells you you should go through the side instead of the front, how'd you handle that guy?
I don't think that you can go through the front. I think you have to go. There's only one way to go, right? Can you go through the front at that point? Because I think, isn't the lever on the inside of the gate?
You know what? So here's my experience. I talked to that guy and he said, you should go through the side. And I said, fuck you. And I went through the front and I kept going.
How'd you do
And
that?
I didn't. I got absolutely fucking obliterated. And then like 30 minutes later, I crawled my broken dick back inside. And I said, all right, I'm
How
going through
did
the
you
side. But
actually?
listen, if you ever mention this,
How'd you get through the gate?
the front door is open.
It
It's
not for
open.
me, it
You can just
wasn't.
walk in. It was open for me. No, if you tell him no, you have to tell him no.
Oh.
Like if he says, do you want to go through the side? And you're like, hell yeah, brother. Then that's it. But if you say, nah, I'm gonna do it my way, he's like, oh, you probably shouldn't. And I'm like, nah, I'm gonna go through that front though. He opens it for you. He's
Okay.
like, okay,
Should have done
oh,
that.
okay, you'll find out. anyway, but like, yeah, did you, how, what did you do with that guy, Gostock?
What I do with him? I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not creative. I said, "Oh, what?" And I went up and went around the other way. I mean, it's just that
So
simple.
while you were going through the castle, did you, how often did you die?
How often did I die in the castle? I mean, it's a Souls game,
Yeah,
dude.
Stormveil.
A lot of times.
So how would you feel if I told you that every time you die in Stormveil Castle, Gostock steals some of your runes?
Oh, really? He does? Yeah.
So remember when you texted me and you're like, no, when you die, you actually don't get the whole amount back. And I was like, that's because in Stormveil, if you fucking just go through the side door, Gostock follows behind you. And when you die, he's like, oh shit,
How would
600 runes.
you ever know that? Like that.
Wiki
Yeah, I mean,
on
like the
Reddit. Actually, I think I learned it from Reddit.
game doesn't tell you. How did the hell did they find out? Like, is it in the code?
Dude, people will just, that's another thing that I think is like this meta, like extra level to this game is that there's like so many people discovering these different things that like I'm just browsing Reddit and someone's like, fucking, you gotta kill Gostock. And I'm like, And they're like, yeah, if you don't, he fucking steals all your shit. And I'm like, So when I got there, I told him I'm going in the front door. And then because I knew he'd steal my shit, I went in the side door. And he's like, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, fuck you. And I went in the front door and then I came back. I said, nah, it's too hard. So I just fucking killed him.
Yeah.
And then you don't lose your runes. You go through and he doesn't steal shit because he's dead.
Huh.
But also, if you go back later and just fucking kill him, you get them all back.
Oh, so I can go kill him right now and get everything?
You can kill him and you'll get like 17,000 runes
Oh,
or something.
yeah.
Like whatever he stole from you'll
I'm
get
gonna
back.
boot
Yeah.
this shit up before I go to bed tonight.
And that's one of those like cute little things that this game does is like there's really no way, except for maybe experimenting or like really reading into certain things, that you would know that. But it happens. And maybe one person accidentally killed him and was
Right.
like, what the fuck did he
Yeah.
have runes on him for?
Right.
Or somebody noticed, like, I keep losing runes and that's not normal. And then they're like, you know what? I bet you it's that fucker, and killed him, just like for like a funny joke. And they're like, oh my God. I am a detective. Call me Batman. He had my runes. I've solved, like, that's how it happened. One or like however many people figured it out, and then that information spreads out. So it's like this, you know, metagame world where some few people are discovering this most like asinine, hidden kind of shit that would like you would think like there's no way anyone would figure that out.
Yeah.
But one or two people stumbled upon it accidentally or because they're crazy, try everything and figured it out, and they share that information and then it spreads.
Crazy. I would never have
And then
thought of that.
suddenly people are figuring all this shit out. Like there's a lot of things like that are obviously not the exact same scenario, but it's so many small things like that where you're like, oh, if you didn't talk to this guy at this point of the game and now he's here and then he'll kill you or he'll do this and you won't get that again. Or like this one guy, if you don't fight him here, he shows up in this other place and like, you know, breaks your cock in half and you can't get to the boss. He just breaks it first and you have to start over. There's so many little things like that.
So,
And 90% of this game is just skippable slash missable, depending on how you look at it. Like,
I'm hanging this post-it note, okay?
Yeah.
I'm hanging it
Yeah.
right here. What does the post-it note
It
say?
says kill
Yes,
Gostock,
so
which
I'm not
again,
gonna
keep this
forget.
in mind, right? So if you don't kill Gostok, I'm sure you know, I didn't know, but if once you kill Godrick, he then spends the rest of his life stomping on Gardrick's corpse on the top. Like, you go back, and he's just up there curb stomping him for the rest of eternity, which is honestly is pretty fucking funny. Yeah. And I kind of wish he was still alive and worth all those runes just to watch him just pummel the sky for the rest of time.
I don't think so. I saw him do his thing. Now, I'm eviscerating him as soon as I get back in that game.
100%. I think there also is a quest that he gives or is attached to him. I don't give – I made my choice. I'm lying.
Yeah.
But I think there is something that comes from him that was bugged, and they fixed it in a patch. But.
Okay.
Well, yeah, fuck that guy.
What other landmark things happen? I have one thing in my head specifically that, and I'm trying to keep this as spoiler friendly as possible. But
all right, well, we're almost at the end here. We'll head into deep spoiler town right now. So, if you're not interested in spoilers, we've mentioned a couple boss names, but they're like very, you know,
at this point
early on, like you see them in the intro cinematic kind of shit. Like it's yeah, and they're optional. They're not even a part of the main plot. So if beyond this point you don't want to hear about any more potentially like legitimately spoiler stuff, just I don't know, end it now. This is what we're gonna finalize on. So okay, you can't spoil anything for me most likely, so you take the reins here and go for
it. I'm not gonna say anything lore related. I was just lining up to say, hey, how about the first time you try to smack one of those fucking lobsters in the lake?
Oh, those lobsters are fuck boys, dude. They are tough cookies.
I'm like, really? This is what they're going to put a lot. Okay. I mean, that's probably worth a 100 or 200 runes. Let me go hit it real quick. I walked over and poked him the first time, and man, did I learn my lesson very quick to never.
It's all ever. About like the size of the crustacean, right? Because like you fight like the basic bears and they're kind of like little pushover boys. You know, you fuck them up a couple hits and you get like the basic like runes, you get your bones. But these lobsters, just because they are like 200 times the size, they're like massive prawn boys that are ready to fucking throw down. Yeah, they fuck,
dude.
A lot more than you would think.
It was incredible how fast they moved and how quickly I died from hitting. You know what the problem is? I figured this out too very quickly. They didn't have the rubber bands on. That's what it is.
You go to the grocery store, yeah. They got them.
Mm-hmm.
They already pacified
them. Well, that's so they don't eviscerate you so quickly, because apparently lobsters are extremely dangerous. Extremely.
They are. Well, that's the thing. Are these lobsters or are they prawns?
Well, prawns are shrimp. There's aren't a.
They? Well, they are, but these might be prawns. Are they? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I've eaten a lot of lobsters in my day.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're so mad at you.
I'm the only one.
The game senses. You get there, the game sends the information forward like, hey, listen, this guy ate like 600 of you.
That's some Hideo Kojima shit right there. That's like back where fucking Psycho Mantis is reading your memory card type shit.
It reads your fucking, your grocery list. It's like, this dude hates you, clearly. And that every lobster you've ever eaten gives him a buff.
Dude, the lobster is one of those things that blew my mind. When you walk out, and I know this is Mimi. When you walk out at the very beginning in fucking horse, but I still can't kill him. Tree Sentinel, dude. I still can't kill him.
I fucked his life up.
I'm sure you have. I don't have that. I leave him alone. He didn't hurt me. He's just walking his horse. Fine. Walk it all day. I don't care. Don't bother me with it.
I mean, unless you're playing a strength-based character, I can say it's not really a make or break kind of fight. He drops a weapon, but.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't use it if you're not built for it.
No.
Nope.
Dex Faith. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. What class did you start as?
I started as Prisoner, and I stand by it because I knew I've in all the previous games, I've never, ever one time dabbled in magic at all. It felt like it was like not the right way to play the games to me before. Like you were supposed to just have a shield and a sword and go fucking roll and poke stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. It's still a pretty hard way to play Elden Ring comparatively. So I said, nah, I'm gonna get some intelligence, I'm gonna get a spell, and I'm gonna go be a magic boy. Prisoner's pretty good. Astrologer is obviously like the go-to mage start, but Prisoner is more of like a dex intelligence spread. And that served me well for a long time. Right now my primary what I'm rocking is I'm primarily faith with I guess you could say a backup of strength, but it's really just to supplement the weapon I want to use. And I pumped a lot into vigor and mind.
Nice. Yeah. I went confessor and, I've stayed mostly true to it. I mean, I'm my character I think is mostly a dex faith based character at this point. And confessor starts you with some faith and you get one of the little hand dinglies to throw some spells around, which is kind of cool. Because I really just got it because it had a heal, to be honest with you. It had a heal and it had a
Yeah.
great shield. I was like, done. All right. This is defense max. This is me all the way. I'm Turtle Boy. And I'm still sword and boarding. I'm using the rapier right now, but I think I'm also going to go in and smith up the, what is it called? The Uchigenata, the bleed samurai sword that I.
Uchigatanas are
Yeah, I
sick.
loved it. I've been using it.
Bleed itself is
Yeah.
such a good I would say good to find that it's like very strong
Yeah.
if you get a good bleed build.
Yep. So I'm thinking I'm gonna go back to that. Like I said, I switched over to the rapier because it was a +8 and it hit pretty well, but I think I'm going back to the bleed build. But I love the diversity. I mean, I'll see some Twitch streamers playing and you get like the co-carnages who are playing like paladins with a huge shield and a huge spear and stabbing people, and then you see like you see these mage builds. That's the popular one. Everybody wants that glass cannon build. But
I've run that a little bit. I've comment azured my fair share of folks.
that's the apparently everyone's spell. I mean, what was the what's that guy's name? There's a YouTuber who I've recently started watching a good amount of the Spiffing Brit, huge guy, millions and millions of views. But he was doing something on Elden Ring where he did exactly that. Just a base level. He breaks the game to start with and then makes his glass cannon, and it's hysterical. But there's plenty of memes of the mage builds. The mage is apparently the way to go in this game, and
It really is.
I
Because you fight a strong boss that fucks you up, you just never go close to him
yeah.
and just wreck his shit from far away, and it does so much damage.
Yeah.
And then like another thing that like on the subreddit, it's a certain type of fella that is like adamantly against using summons because they're like a cheat. They're like reduce the
Yeah,
game.
it's
Dude, all you need to do is get good summon and be a mage, and you just let that guy go and like handle your business up close, and you just shoot him with all your shit. And just like it's as it is. If there is an easy mode, I will say, having played a mage the majority of the game, it's that.
yeah.
It makes it so much more of a. But it's not like a button that just solves all your problems, because you do still have to, know when you can use certain spells, when you need to like manage your FP, how to position yourself. It's not just like you hit a button and you clear a room.
I
I
mean,
mean,
but
eventually you can get there, but
you can get that physic that makes you not use any FP, right? For the comet.
yeah,
That's
that's what you mix with Comet Azure.
right.
Yeah, it's
And
just like a fucking hyper beam of death that just,
right.
if you have the right buffs and enough stats, you just aim it at a boss and they die.
Yeah.
But again, like if they sidestep, if they dodge, you're fucked, because it's a beam. You can't direct it. Once it shoots, it aims where it aims. So
Yeah.
if someone sidesteps, dodges, jumps, if it shoots and just as you shot, they like are charging your summon, you've kind of wasted your whole game plan.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not saying it's not overpowered. It's very fucking strong, and you can clear just about anything that comes at you with it. But you just still have to do like a little bit of work. It's just less work than if you were gonna like dodge and poke it for 10 minutes,
Yeah.
That's definitely the harder way to go. I tried a pure strength build and whew, rough.
Yeah, I'm having some
Rough.
trouble with the sword and board, but we'll see. I
Well, the thing is, if sword and board, if you can really perfect like that perfect parry timing,
Yeah.
you'll fuck shit up. But it's ooh, it's
It
hard.
is very hard. The rapier
It's
is nice
hard.
because you don't have to be perfect. You can do a counter strike with it if you block with a shield and
Yeah.
then you counter strike afterwards, and it almost it, for most regular mobs, it'll put them in a critical state where you can get a backstab, which if you have the talisman that gives you health back, I mean that's a free vial like right there. Boom, done. From max health. So I've been exploiting that a little bit, but
Yeah, and with those piercing weapons, like either spears or the rapier, you can have your shield up, blocking damage, and still just poke
still be
around it
poking.
like you're a fucking, yeah,
Yeah.
like you're a Spartan in the middle of a phalanx.
Yeah, I mean, to sum up, I'm having a blast with this, but I am taking it very slow. And I am exploring, and I'm like going out on thin ice. Like I'm just testing everywhere before I commit to stepping. Like it's like, oh, what does this place look like? I don't know. Let me peek in this room real quick. Okay, let me just like I'm not courageous in this
Yeah.
game at all. I'm very slow, and if I get spooked, I just go somewhere else where I'm less spooked and come back later. That's
There is so much to do
yeah.
that even giving myself the window of saying let's say that 20 hours of my playtime have been idle, that I've just let the system run and didn't like quit, and it's just been sitting there. Just for like, I think that's a decent chunk to say. I think that's probably overdoing it.
Yeah.
But even so, my current save is like 147 hours, and I have still not beat the game once, like finished the plot. Mm-hmm. I've done so much shit. So even if you take 20 off of that and say I've been playing for 120 hours of actual playtime, could I have beaten it? Of course, if I just like run to the end. But there's so much to do that I don't want to necessarily wait for New Game Plus when I can just go figure it, like explore it as much as possible in one go. Mm-hmm. There's so much to do.
Yeah.
It's every time I want to do something, I'm like, oh, well, to do that, I actually would be best off if I went and did this first, because that'll give me the thing that's better for that. But to do that, I need to go to this area, and I don't have that map yet, so I need to go get that map. And actually, if I'm going to get that map, I got to go get this. Like, it's always something that constantly keeps me busy doing some shit, even if I'm looking it up on the wiki. Like, I'm always, like, seven tabs deep, like, fuck, this is a train of things I need to do to get to where I'm going. And that's why it still feels like an adventure, even if I'm kind of following a guide sometimes, which, fuck you, that's how I want to play sometimes. It's not like doing that, like, ruins the fun for me, which some games maybe it would. This game, it doesn't.
Yeah.
At least not for me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think the verdict here unanimously from both of us is that this is absolutely a game that, if you haven't played yet and you have any interest in any type of a role-playing game, yes, it's going to be challenging. I apologize. The beginning is rough. But once you get the ability to kind of go off on your own way and kind of get control of, you know, your own growth level, you're in control of the difficulty of the game. You really are. I mean, as Shane's been saying, he's, you know, 120 was your level, you said. So that's, I mean, the game,
I think we're at 127 right now.
The game's designed to be beat.
I need like 109,000 runes to level up each time right now.
So you're 30 levels past what the game's end goal is designed for. It's designed for level 90. So again, you have control over how much time you want to sink into this game and how much challenge you want for each portion of the game. So, I mean, it's early in the year. Devon had texted me previously and said that he was of the opinion that Horizon Forbidden West is game of the year. And that
not
was
not a chance, baby.
That was
in 2022.
That was, I think it was week of Elden Ring. I think it was like 4 or 5
I think
days.
Yeah, we had just started playing it, I think.
Very beginning.
We were like, this game is awesome.
Yeah, even
and it was like,
at that point, I was ready to challenge him. I think we have a contender, so we better see some stellar games. This game this has to be another one of those, like, what's another good landmark year? 2009 was a good year, I think. 2012?
2012, 2010.
2004.
2005. Yeah. 2004. Like, there's a lot of good years.
Yeah.
I can't say that 2022 is going to be among them, but boy, this is a...
It has to be. If it
this
wants to
release.
Be. If it wants to beat Elden
Ring. This release is a huge one.
Yep.
Like I said, I already said off of this recording, like, to me, I think this is probably taking the spot as like my top game of all time.
It's amazing.
I just can't put it down. I'm this far into it and I can't put it down, and I'm ready to play it again. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of crazy. I haven't gotten this into a game in a long time.
Yeah.
That is just like, it is, of course there's faults. There's things that piss me off. There's things that are broken or I think could be done better, but in their own broken way, sometimes there's like a little charm to the way they're broken. Like, the multiplayer has a lot to be spoken for, the way it's designed. But, and like the camera, like, sometimes will fuck you up and, like, you know, really doesn't help my dick health. But overall, at the end of the day, I'm just like, you know, I keep coming back and I don't have that same experience I had before. I really get to fully go for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, previously your game was Mass Effect. That was the,
yeah,
and you're saying that Elden Ring has given you in this short amount of time enough pleasure from a series that you have not previously played before to usurp, to knock off your top game, or at least put it in contention at this point of the Mass Effect trilogy.
It's absolutely, like, no question it's in contention, but I think it's safe to say, yes, it's,
wow,
it's surpassed, you know, on the whole, like, for the amount of time that I've put into it and how much is still left and just like how all the layers come together, the whole thing of it, I think is, yeah, it's hard to say that I've played another game that I think succeeds on the same level this does. But yeah, so that's going to wrap us up for today on Elden Ring. There's like an infinite amount more probably to talk about this game. Another reason that I love it so much. It's like I could talk about it for the rest of my life, maybe. But instead, I'd rather go play it. So we're going to call it at that. If you enjoyed today's episode and what we've talked about, if you like Elden Ring and you want to tell me that, like, you know, magic sucks, or like, you know, you don't like the metaphor for broken cocks and you have a better one, I'm sure CJ would appreciate you giving us a better one. You can email that to us, like you mentioned earlier, goodgameguyspod@gmail.com. Also, if you, the number one thing right now, if you leave us a review on iTunes, 5-star rating on Spotify, wherever you're listening, if it has some kind of a method for giving some feedback, it's probably seems super small to you, or, you know, not whatever. It doesn't take much time, but it is super helpful for us as far as, like, you know, if people care about what bullshit we're talking about, that's the biggest way to kind of spread it around. We don't have a Patreon, we don't have shit where we're asking for money or donations or anything like that. We're just like, you know, let people know, or like, you know, yell out your window at your neighbors and be like, "Oi, how's your cock? Is it broken?" Oh, same thing happened to these guys on the podcast, and, you know, tell them to come listen.
Please fix this. Send us a comment. We need to fix this.
Point being, word of mouth, just telling people, hey, I listened to this podcast, I thought it was cool, listen to it, leave a review, whatever. It's the best way you can help us out if you're so inclined. If you like what we're doing and you want to be involved in some way. Or like I said, shoot us an email about anything. Comment about something you heard. Tell us some shit we should have talked about because we talked for an hour and we missed your favorite part about the game. Whatever. But at that, we're done for today because I need to go relieve myself in the lavatory, and then I need to go play Elden Ring for the next 5 hours until the sun comes up.
Same here. I got to go kill Gostock, so I'm going to be hopping on Elden Ring as soon as we finish. But thank you, everybody. We'll catch you next time.